Hello, and welcome back to another episode of the Sunny Marymeadow podcast. I am your host, Liz Fidler, and today we're going to talk about the importance of rest and recovery in business. Now, I own Sunny Marymeadow Flower Farm in central Minnesota, and I think it is so important to point out that I am not solopreneur, which means like the sole person in your business. I am not a solopreneur. This is a family-run business, but not exclusively family-run. I do the majority of the work, and I have my hands in everything, but it's definitely not just me. I have help. I have employees. I have three W-2 employees. I have one that I 1099 myself, and then there's probably five or six independent contractors that work for me in some capacity. And I know that sounds crazy. Not all of it is exclusively the flower farm. Some of it is for the podcast. Some of it is for my writing. Some of it's for my coaching. But I have a team. And I think that that is so important to share, that it's my decision to do it that way, because it's a recipe for burnout if I don't. And I acknowledged that. And, you know, you got to choose your heart. So I saw this quote, and I'm probably going to mess it up, but it was something along the lines of, it's really hard to run a business completely by yourself. And it's also really hard to run a business while training new people in. That is so true. However, a year from now, you'll either still have that same original hard, or that hard work will have paid off and get you where you want to get. And so you guys know that I talk about the book Who Not How, and I say find someone to help you do something, or someone to help you succeed at XYZ, rather than trying to learn how to do everything yourself. And it's this weird like badge of honor. I'm this millennial that I wore it like a badge of honor that I work harder than anyone else. I worked overtime. I can do it. I can figure it out. But honestly, I'm to the point where I don't want to. I do not want to work 80 hours a week. It's really interesting when I get my consultations for that initial PPP phone call, and I always kind of have to ask, you know, what is your goal? Do you want to work full time and have a little farm stand for your flower farm? Do you want to cut back your hours and then do both? Or do you want to, you know, have it be your full-time career? And I think that middle ground is the most dangerous, because I think most people think they can do both. But what that is a recipe of working 60 hours a week. If you have, because you scale up and the amount of work and the difference, and it's the book that will be the best example of that, is 10x is easier than 2x. The amount of work that I did when I was still working 3 days a week at the clinic as a primary, so I would leave my house at 7 and I wouldn't get home until 5, 3 days a week. And then I had my flower farm, and I was trying to build and grow the business and work on it in the cracks. And I had an employee that I didn't even have time to train. And I was just, you know, having her put out fires. And it was like this constant state of chaos. And I was working all the time. I would work my full-time job. I would come home and work. Whereas if it was just my part-time job, if it was just like side hustle money and like, oh, I have this bouquet or this little garden and I sell, you know, I stick out 5 or 6 bouquets a day, you know, just pick them as I'm done and spend an hour or two a day. Great. But when you're trying to scale up and grow it while not cutting back the other one, that's, you know, I don't want that for anyone. I don't want anyone to have to work 60 hours a week at multiple jobs. Like, do you want that for your kids? Do you want, you know, I want to have hobbies. I want to have time for the people that I care about. And so I'm going to talk about the vital role of rest and recovery, because I think all of us are victims of hustle culture, and we were taught that if we just work harder and work harder, we'll get ahead, when really it's kind of working smarter sometimes. And it's taken me a long time to figure that out. So that author that I talked about with 10X is easier than 2X, or Who Not How, those are all written by Dan Sullivan. And I love those books, but I think the very foundation of where I learned everything when it came to like going to grad school and organizing my time and accomplishing doing more with less, which, you know, I think it's, you know, people are sick of doing more, but at the same time, to get to success, you need to have some grit. You need to put in the hard work. You can't just entirely skip that right away. It's just once you hit a level, you can start taking things off of your plate. And so Laura Vanderkam is this author that I think she has her PhD in, she writes like for the New York Times doing time use studies. And the three books of hers that I absolutely loved are called 168 Hours, You Have More Time Than You Think. And that one is about looking at the week as a whole rather than like weekdays, weekends, or you have to do a little bit of this every day. Whereas if you say, no, you don't have to do a little bit of this every day, you just have to do this much a week. And if it means that there's a couple days where I'm just completely grinding really hard, but then I get the whole weekend of uninterrupted time with my kids, like, then it's worth it. Versus, no, you need to have supper with your kid every single day. Well, then that cuts in your productivity. And so just looking at it as like a comprehensive package in your week. There's another one called I Know How She Does It. And it is literally about successful career women that also have children. And it's, yeah, I Know How She Does It. Because that's the famous book is I Don't Know How She Does It. And all the pressures of being a mom and having a career and having a job and having to do it all. And yes, we all agree it's hard. But then give me some actionable steps of making it better. Because I hate it when people complain for the sake of complaining. Give me an idea for a solution. Just help me out a little bit versus complaining and then not offering any insights whatsoever. And then her last book that I recently read, which is kind of, it was kind of written a couple of years after the other ones. And this one's called Tranquility by Tuesday. And I would say this is probably one of the most instrumental books in structuring my week. And it's really helped me since the last 6 months implementing a lot of these things. So I don't make any appointments or meetings or anything like that on Friday for my work day. And it's really kind of structured toward entrepreneurs who get to build their own schedule, or the boss, basically, not necessarily an entrepreneur, but if you're a manager or a boss, don't schedule anything on Fridays, because you know throughout the week something is going to get shifted and you're going to need a place to put it. And now you have it on Fridays. And then also like planning the next week on Fridays and, you know, whatever it might be. And she's just got a lot of different rules that you continue to follow. And, you know, I don't want to have to work all the time. I want to find ways to delegate and offload. So I'm going to talk about the role of rest and recovery and what that means to me. So I think that, you know, there's an importance in enhancing your productivity and maintaining a healthy, not a balance, but just a flow of your work and your hobbies and the things that bring you enjoyment. So there is this parable about sharpening your axe. So it's about the woodcutter who, there's two woodcutters that go to work every single day. And one just works his butt off all day long, and just doesn't stop for lunch, doesn't take a break. And the other guy actually goes home for an hour over lunch. And when he gets back, at the end of the day, they have the same wood pile. It's the exact same size. They got the same amount done, but the other one worked the entire hour through his lunch compared to the other one. And he's like, how do you stop for an hour? I keep going. You know, that whole hour I cut XYZ more. How am I getting more done than you? Like, you go and take a break and I understand you're resting. And he goes, oh, I go home, I eat lunch, and I sharpen my axe. So it makes his job easier compared to the one who just kept working, even though the blade was dull. Okay, so that is such a significance when it comes to a farm-based business, and the importance of rest and recovery can actually enhance your productivity and your efficiency in the long run. Now, I'm not saying that, you know, we should not work as hard. You have to build it up first and then you can start delegating it down. But I personally am on a mission to monitor my time. So I have everyone on my team this season. We are tracking, okay, did we pick for subscriptions? Were we setting up for a stem bar? Were we pulling weeds for the U-picks? Because you could say the U-picks are so profitable because, you know, people come, they pick their own flowers, there's less setup, you know, whatever it might be. But how long are we spending marketing them? How long are we weed whipping? Are we getting the yard in pristine condition that if we didn't have people on the farm, we wouldn't have to spend that time doing it that way? Or maybe we could plant the rows of flowers closer together if we didn't have to worry about U-picks and for customers to be able to walk through them and the way that we, you know, structure and flow things. And so, you know, what are we losing out on money of, you know, productivity or not productivity, but, you know, the amount of flowers that we can grow because of, you know, we're sacrificing it because of the U-picks and we could have had more flowers here. And so just really trying to audit which things on my farm are the most profitable. Because yes, you could say my product is a bouquet, but no, my products are competing with themselves in some ways. My customers that buy a subscription, for the most part, are not also coming to U-picks. And my customers that come to Stem Bars, they're not probably also going to come to a U-pick on Saturday because they don't need two bouquets in the same week. Maybe they will. Maybe they'll bring a friend. There's always exceptions and they're always welcome to, but for the most part, they're not going to be buying multiple bouquets a week. Taking a quick break from this episode to talk about invoicing. So I use QuickBooks for my invoicing because it's so easy to just add on the sales tax, take the sales tax away if they're tax exempt. You can choose all of those options. And most of the time in the comment section, I can just click on mail a check or use ACH payment. And that's the options I have for those really, really big purchases or those really, really big sales like brides or when I'm selling wholesale to another florist that has an ST3 form on file. It's just way easier. And then it only takes a 1% fee out if they do the ACH instead of a credit card. So QuickBooks makes it so easy and I use them for my payroll, my invoicing, my sales tax, everything. There's a reason that QuickBooks will always be my employee of the month, including myself. So head to the episode notes, click the link. You will get 30% off for the first 6 months with my exclusive code. Be sure to use my code rather than just the regular website because this is the best discount you will ever get compared to directly from their website. Thanks. The next thing is slowing down to speed up. So we hear about this all the time and it's not taking your foot off of the gas is not letting up. It's literally thinking about it as refilling the tank. So strategic breaks and downtime are not a halt in progress, but they are a necessary investment for sustained energy and creativity. So think about it as refilling your tank. You know, we get hangry. We need to go eat something. We need to take a break. And I am so guilty of it every May, every spring. I just need to get it done. I just need to get it done. And it's like, no, if we took that extra day or we took that extra time, you know, recharge, get your mindset ready to go, you're going to be able to get stuff done. You know, same thing with, you know, right now I'm starting to really start working out again because I know that in May it's going to be so physically hard on my body, planting all of those plugs, doing everything. We just bought a new, like, I don't know how to describe it. It's a dibbler on wheels. So it pokes the holes for us in those things that aren't going into the landscape fabric. So like the plugs of the Lysianthus and stuff. And that's going to cut the time of planting those Lysianthus down by... it'll reduce our time by 3 hours. And so that and sunflowers and, you know, the stuff that I don't use the fabric for, it's going to be very efficient, but you know, it's still a lot of physical work on my body. And so right now in March, I'm trying to do yoga. I'm trying to do strength training. I'm trying to go running because I know that if I have to like physically recover and be mad at my body for not being able to do what I want it to do in May, that's nobody's fault but my own. And so I'm already pre-fueling the tank, if that makes sense. And so I think, you know, sometimes we're raised that, you know, you got to work sun up to sundown and that's how you get more done. But really, if you take a deep breath and you're like, no, this was my goal to get it done. And if we take a break and we charge ourselves, you know, we can get a lot more done in those blocks of times that we're actually working on it. That's another thing that Laura Vanderkam, author, has taught me to do that I really implement a lot is setting time blocks instead of to-do list. And so if I have a to-do list of say 10 things on it, I have to do the first thing and I can't move on to the next thing until the first thing is done and I don't even look at it at all. Well, I make that basically that to-do list. I prioritize it a few different ways. I say, you know, this is what needs to get done today. This is what needs to get done this week. And then I have a thing that, you know, this is what needs to get done this month or eventually. And then I move things up on the list as I can. Well, if I have, you know, answer emails or, you know, a job that's never done, how do I have that on my to-do list? And so I will literally set a timer for 45 minutes and I say, okay, I'm going to do this for 45 minutes. And once it's done, like if I don't get it done, then I have to come back to it at the end of the day. So a lot of times, especially with like these podcast episodes or my writing or whatever it is, I will set a timer for 90 minutes and then I'll have like a 15 minute break and then I have to move on to the next thing. And if I'm not done with it in 90 minutes and I have to move on to the next thing, at the end of the day, I have a 1 hour time slot to go back to what I was working on before. And so I think, you know, just knowing that like you have limited time, but you can get so much more done during that time if you don't give yourself all day to do it. I would definitely say that's something that I'm trying to teach Flower Farmer Fiance to do. Like he just, like he would rather have something done 80% perfectly right. Whereas I'm like, nope, done is better than good for some things. And we're trying to find this balance between us. But, you know, the time blocking, I'm like, okay, we have kids. We have this. We have that. We don't have all day to do this because we have other things to do on our to-do list. So guess what? We get 90 minutes to get as much of this done as we can. And that's all we have. We can maybe come back to it tomorrow. But like, that's where we're at. And just setting a time block of how long you're allowed to work on a certain task, you'd be very surprised how much you can get done. And then you force yourself to go eat lunch or go for a walk or, you know, make sure you prioritize that personal schedule of getting together with friends, whatever it might be. I think also understanding the science and importance of rest. So our culture glorifies overworking without recognizing the toll that it takes on both our bodies and our minds. So I think that, you know, physical health and rest, there is definitely, you know, improved immune function, reduced stress levels, lower risk of chronic conditions such as heart disease, diabetes, all of that as we have this, you know, impact the stamina and resilience that we need for a physically demanding work of running a farm. There's also the protection against burnout in our mental health, depression, anxiety. A rested mind is much more capable of handling day-to-day stresses and decisions involved in farm management. So here's another thing that I, you know, have tried to remind myself. There aren't flower emergencies. Nobody's going to die. Maybe some flowers will, but you will recover. It's going to be fine. And I don't think this episode's going to come out until probably, I don't know, May, when we're all starting to feel like the burnout of planting season and then we get a little bit of a break. But it is March 26th as I am recording this. So it is Tuesday and it is Easter this weekend. And I have a bunch of bouquets coming, or a bunch of wholesale flowers that I ordered in addition to some of the tulips that I have blooming. But I knew I wouldn't have enough of my own flowers, but people go nuts over Easter flowers here. Well, I meant to reduce my order. So it's kind of like you make your wish list and then you cut back when it comes to these holidays with my wholesaler. So I put, you know, I want this many of all of these different blooms, and it ended up being like $1,500 worth of wholesale flowers. And you guys, I forgot to cancel like half my order. So I was doing pre-sales for those flowers. And a lot of these things, they're not that profitable for me. But I like doing them. I like offering them to my customers. I like the bright colors. I like doing it on social media. Easter is kind of my thing because of how we did so many bouquets 3 years ago when we did those 300 wholesale bouquets. And so I was like, nope, I'm going to go ahead and, you know, I'm still going to do some, but it's not like it's this huge profitable thing. And I have so many other things that I can be working on. Like I'm already writing my newsletters and podcast episodes for next summer. And I'm just trying to build that up so that this summer I can enjoy my time with my kids. I'm only going to have them have daycare Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday. And so like Mondays and Fridays, I'm going to try to not work very much. I'm going to have two people here doing the flowers, but like that's my time with my kids. So anyway, so I have other stuff that I could be doing. And that's why I decided not to like push these things very hard. I included them in my email newsletters, and I think I've only sold about a dozen of them. And that's, I mean, I barely pushed them because I was pushing subscriptions last week. I was pushing Dahlia tubers last week, and I just have not posted about them very much. Well, lo and behold, the delivery truck shows up today with these $1,500 of wholesale flowers. And I'm like, oh shit, I only have about, you know, 20% of those flowers pre-sold. Shit. And so in my mind, I'm like, okay, calm down. And then, you know, it's again, it's all these little mindset tricks, but one of them is the gap in the gain. So I've tried really hard to get my mind out of the gap where thinking about how far I have to go with my business, my goals, whatever, because it is a never ending target. I don't even know what the end goal is. So I can't always compare myself to like where it should be. And so I'm in the gain and thinking about how far I have come. I'm like, okay, let's calm down. I could either call my sales rep and say, can you guys pick these up tomorrow? I don't need half of these. But I don't know what her answer is going to be. I'm probably going to have to pay for the shipping either way. And like, it's just a like, crap. So that's one option. My next option, I started thinking about some florists. I'm like, okay, well, maybe I could call Tracy. Maybe I could call, you know, see if they have an order yet that they haven't canceled. But again, is that the best option? And then I was like, you know what? Let's think about, you know, and I thought of a name. And so I'm like, he has bought flowers from me before for nursing homes. You know, like, let me call him up. And so I knew he was going to do a nursing home sponsorship this summer. So I called up my buddy, Tony. I'm like, hey, do I have a deal for you? I'm like, how about, you know, do you want some Easter bouquets? I will deliver them to the nursing home in your name. I will make all the phone calls. I'll say they're from your business. Like, I'll include you in my newsletter. You know, you'll be the only one. I haven't even started nursing home sponsorships yet, but will you do some of this? And he's like, yeah, sure. I'll take 40. How easy was that? I just sold 40 bouquets. I've already got, you know, a dozen or so promised. Like, I'm already 3/4 of the way to my goal without literally doing anything. Just paused. And now I will mix them up. I will send it out on my email newsletter. I will sell out of every single one of those stems. Like, it's fine. Calm down. You have gotten this far. You have the skills to get there. But because I am well rested, because I'm not stressed out, I'm able to think clearly and move on from that problem. I think it really helps our cognitive function and decision making when you rest. Your problem solving skills, business planning, crop management, all of those things, when you cannot think clearly because you are stressed and hungry and tired and sleep deprived, you're not able to make an informed, easy decision, which again, like, what a terrible problem to have. Oh my God, I have all these pretty flowers. Figure it out. You have a flower business. You can sell them. You know how to do this. It's going to be fine. I think that rest, and particularly in the form of sleep and relaxation, can also foster creativity. And so when we're trying to differentiate ourselves in the market, we're able to like think with that clear space, and that resonates to our customers. They don't want to buy from someone that's totally stressed out. It's kind of funny. I don't know. There's this, and I think my algorithm, because of the coaching business, because of the podcast, it is absolutely filled on social media with other flower farmers. And you know what? A lot of them are taking the approach that like, they're angry. They don't want newcomers coming in. They've worked hard. They've been here before. There's no room for competition. It's hard. Are you sure you want to get in on this? And I want to like raise my hand and say, why are you doing this? Because you seem to hate it. You seem to talk about how hard flower farming is. And yeah, there's hard days, and yeah, there's hard times. Like, I know mine's coming. Like, April is going to be rough for me because I'm going to be picking all those tulips. I'm going to be harvesting. I'm going to be making subscriptions. I'm going to be trying to get other stuff done. But actually, because we had such an early spring in the high tunnels that I'm not going to be able to start my field work yet, it's going to be evened out pretty good. But it's still just, you know, it's going to be the grind. And then I don't have any help in the actual field until school is out in early June. I do have a couple volunteers lined up, a couple people that are going to come like after work on, you know, in May for planting season. But for the most part, like, it is hard on me, and that's okay. That's why I'm not going to be doing any recording. I'm not going to doing, you know, any of that stuff. Peddling perishable products is not going to be going on at that time. Like, we are going to have it, you know, ready to go. But that's because I have been doing this business long enough that I can anticipate when my busy season is, and put my energy where it's going to be needed. I think that, you know, running a business is an emotional roller coaster. Okay. And especially with farming, we do have variables like weather and, you know, even market prices, inflation. I mean, we don't have as flowers. Ours don't adjust so much with the market, but they kind of, the prices, you know, our tulips, we don't find out what the price is on all of those bulbs until after we've placed our order. That's the reality. I would love, you know, there's some bulbs that I pay this much for, some bulbs that I pay that much for. I don't find out until after I've ordered them. And I don't think my customers give a crap at the difference between one that's twice as much as the other or like 30% more than the other. They think it's pretty, but they wouldn't know which one is more expensive. I mean, yes, the doubles versus the singles, but some of those that are, you know, however many cents a bulb versus the other ones. And so I think that, you know, with a farm-based business, it is so important for the emotional balance and just helping your interactions with those customers, your employees, your own family members. I also think that making rest a part of your business plan and not an afterthought is really important. So incorporate it into the planning, including setting boundaries, scheduling downtime, and adopting a mindset that values rest. There is a reason on Sundays we don't do anything around here with flowers. We don't have U-picks. We don't have stem bars. I mean, once in a while, we might do a Sunday evening stem bar if I have some extra flowers, like in the spring, because we are around anyway, because my daughters still have school. But in the summertime, when they don't have school the next day, not necessarily. Although Brent's going to be back to work soon because of his whole ankle situation. But still, for the most part, especially Sunday mornings, we do not want to limit ourselves to where we can't pick up and go somewhere on the weekend, because most weekends we do. We end up like taking the camper, going somewhere kind of unexpectedly, or hey, let's go hiking and whatever. We've got our dog. He's with us. I mean, I don't want to be tied down on that flexibility. Whereas during the week, when Brent's got work here anyway, and we're more tied to the farm during the week, that's fine. But I also think, you know, just planning that and setting your own boundaries and working around that instead of always, always, always working. I'm also going to have an episode coming out that's going to really hit on my tips for running a business out of your home. And a lot of that is, yes, setting boundaries. And, you know, you can sit here and say, well, I'm an entrepreneur. I work for myself. I don't have to adhere to a schedule. And I really think you should try to set some business hours. And maybe your business hours are like mine, from 5 a.m. to 7 a.m. And then again from 8:30 to 2 or whatever it ends up being. And then sometimes from 7:30 to 9:30 at night or whatever it might be. But like setting those boundaries and like those are my working hours during here. But like even my podcast scheduling or whatever, this summer, I'm pretty much just going to record on Tuesdays when it comes to guests. Because if I don't have that schedule, if I don't have those boundaries and I say, hey, when works for you? And then it's 20 emails back and forth. I also think it's really important when it comes to rest and recovery is reflecting on having time for your friends and family and hobbies outside of your business. So what is the purpose of working so hard if it doesn't allow for a fulfilling life outside of work? I really encourage you to reevaluate your priorities and ensure that your business allows for a life outside of work. I am a flower farmer, but I also have hobbies. I also have a life. My hobbies have taken the back burner for far too long. If I don't have time to go for a run because I'm so busy working, why am I doing this? What can I adjust to allow for that? If I don't have time to see my friends, to meet someone for lunch, I'm not saying you can do it all the time. I'm not saying that you can have, you know, fun all the time. I think that, you know, you have to find one or two things and keep them sacred. You know, you can't, I want time for a group exercise class and I want time for running and I want to go out for a happy hour with my friends and I want to have lunch with my sister. Oh, and me and my husband have to have a date night and make sure that I, you know, always pick up my kid from school. Nope, you can't have all of those things. I think the secret to having it all is acknowledging that you can eventually, just not all at once. So pick one or two things and keep those sacred, but you should still have some things that you enjoy outside of your work, outside of your job, outside of your business. Otherwise, why are you doing it? I also think it's really important to find a way to incorporate rest into your routine. Figure out what are, you know, the common challenges that you have. So make sure it's non-negotiable. It's, you know what, and rest. Some people, rest is laying on the couch and watching Netflix. I think that's what people think it means, is you got to rest. You got to take a nap. I'm not saying take a nap. I mean, recharge, refuel. What gives you energy? For me, it's being on this farm. This place, this home gives me energy. One of my very best friends, she's seriously, I love her. She is a mentor to me. Her name's Tammy. She's an MD, lives 5 minutes away. And she's one of those people that when I look up to her as a mentor, she is someone that I want to be. I think it is so important to surround yourself and to consume those people whose lives you want to have. In 15 years, I want to be her. She makes time for her friends. She makes time for her family. She makes time for her hobbies. She makes time for her career. And I don't even know how she does it, but I want to learn. And so she was telling me the advice she was giving to her college, her high school senior son, when he was trying to decide which college to go to. And one of them was St. John's University, which is really close to here. And that's where she and her husband both went, with St. John's, St. Ben's. But it's woodsy. It's, you know, there's hiking trails, there's skiing. It's out in the country. It's called Collegeville. It's a beautiful, gorgeous campus. But he loved the school and he has some friends going there. But for him, he's like, no, I love being in the Twin Cities. I love the heart of it. That's what gives him energy, is he loves being able to get on a bus and go wherever. And so he ended up going to the U of M. Find what recharges you and refuels you and do more of that. So someone's rest, when I say rest and recovery, someone's rest might be going for a run. And most people are like, well, that's not resting, but it is, because it's what recharges you. It might be taking a walk and calling your sister on the phone. It's what recharges you. It might be stopping and playing on the playset when you're in the middle of playing with your flowers, or saying, you know what, kids, we're going to take a break. That was yesterday. My daughter Vidalia was off of school, and because it's a blizzard right here on March 25th as I'm recording this, and we went outside for an hour. I put on my cross country skis. She put on hers, which are way too small for her, and we need to get her a new pair, but whatever. And we just played in the snow and we went around and I did a workout. My watch said I burned 250 calories. Is that rest? No, but we laughed. We giggled. I felt like a good mom. I was doing something with her. I got fresh air. And then I came back inside and I worked on a contract for a bride. I worked on a proposal there. I worked on, you know, some other stuff for my business. And I was able to refocus because I took a break, which was not necessarily rest. It was trudging through 12 inches of snow. But sometimes that's what rest or recovery means. It's taking a break from what you're doing, recharging yourself so that you can come back. And I guess what? I got way more done in that next hour, because I told Brent, my fiance, I'm like, give me 1 hour and then I'm going to tie up all these loose ends after I had been outside. Now, was it tempting to not go back to work? Absolutely. Vidalia was like, Mom, no, can we have hot chocolate? Can you pull me with the four-wheeler? Let's go check on the chickens. Let's go get the mail. Like, she wanted to keep hanging out with me. And I'm like, no, honey, Mom's got to get more work done. But I'm going to set a timer for an hour. Daddy's going to start supper. Like, Brent had gone to go get Davey, because she still had daycare. I'm like, he's going to start supper. And then when I come up, then uninterrupted time, family time, I'm not opening my phone. I'm not opening the emails. And she understands that. So it's like, it's having those boundaries, but like, oh, I can't just quit working for the day every day at 3 o'clock. And the day before, I had also kind of quit working because she was home from school. So it was kind of 2 days in a row. But just having that, you know, that acknowledgement that you should incorporate rest, however you define rest, into your routine. And again, setting specific work hours. Like I said, you cannot be available all the time. Even during your busy season, plan ahead, adjust your schedules as you need it, okay? I just think that hard work does pay off, but rest and recovery are equally as important for long-term success and well-being. And if you are going to, whether it's, you know, I know that we have more listeners than just cut flower growers, hobby farms. We have other people that sell, you know, direct to consumer milk, eggs, you know, farming, whatever it might be. I have people that have a social media business. I have people that, you know, maybe you have a regular W-2 job, whatever it might be. But, you know, if we take that time and just like scroll through our phones during a break and taking a break, rest and recovery doesn't mean just sitting on your butt and going through Netflix and going through your phone. Like, that doesn't count as a break. It's something that refuels you. And maybe scrolling through social media refuels you, but it doesn't for me. So, you know, just remember that taking time, it's not just beneficial, but it is essential. So I invite you, I love to see, you know, who listens, who is here, who is following. So if you are going to take a break, if you're going to take a vacation, a scheduled, you know, whatever it might be, maybe it's a day date, post it on social media, put it in your stories, tag me, say, yep, I'm recharging, I'm resting, I'm recovering, I'm refueling, I am sharpening my axe so I can get more done. Thank you guys so much for listening. Thank you so much for listening to the Sunny Mary Meadow podcast. We actually have a different website for you to go to now, and we are so excited. So sunnymarymeadow.com is still my flower farm and ways to come here and get flowers. But the podcast is going to be hosted on sunnymarymeadowcoaching.com. So make sure you head over there and check out the new blog section. That's right. We found a way to put every episode into written form, all of the links, and you can even search by topic to find all of the episodes there. Make sure you subscribe to the podcast on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you listen, and please consider leaving a 5-star review so you can find it. You can find us on Facebook. Sunny Mary Meadow is still for the flower farm, but we have a group, Sunny Mary Meadow Podcast Flowerers, and that is the group for the podcast. And then of course, Instagram at Sunny Mary Meadow is exactly where you're going to find everything. Thank you so much for listening.
Flowers, flowers, we love flowers. Sunny Mary Meadow, they smell so good. SunnyMaryMeadow.com.